It says, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. David was king. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan, the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." Verse 3. That night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, and I want to read verse 10, second part. And God spoke some other verses to Nathan about David, and he said, "I declare to you," Nathan was talking to David, "that the Lord will build a house for you." Before we will pray, and I'll go and share what is in my heart and what is in your heart for to do for God. David, he was a king. He was living in a palace. But his heart, something was in his heart. Says, "I'm in this awesome palace, but Ark of the God of Israel in a tent. I have to do something about it." And he told prophet Nathan, "I want to build a house for God, for my God, who took me from the flock of sheep as a shepherd. He took me from there and put me on a throne. I want to do something for him." And Nathan, prophet, said, "Go do what in your heart. God is with you." But that night, God spoke to Nathan, prophet. Something different than prophet said to David. "Go and tell to David. You want to build me a house? And here I declare to you, I will build a house for you." This is amazing, that whatever in your heart for God, God is never in debt for us. Whatever in your heart for God, think about that. And think what God can do for what you want to do for him. This is what God said, that "I declare for you that I will build a house for you." It's not just house with these rocks and wood, but house for generation, that descendant of you will be Messiah. That everybody's going to kneel down before him, and he will bring salvation to this dying world. And he will be king forever and ever. That was God's promise to David, and he fulfilled that. And he will still fulfill one day in the future. Let us pray before God and look into our hearts, what we have in our heart for God. Please, let us pray together. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see our hearts, our minds. What is in the deep of our heart, O God? For ourselves, for our families, and for you and for your family. Lord, help us. Help us, O God, to have zealous for you, God. To have, O God, deep desires for you and for your kingdom. To do something for your glory, O Lord. As you told to David, that "I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you, O God." We are grateful to you that you are the Lord. You are the Lord who does miracles after miracles, O God. Bless us and help us to think about heavenly things, about things that we can do for your glory. And thank you so much, and help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, my name is Rasim Hasanov, and I have one wife and two boys. I believe one wife is more than enough. Is that right, man, in the house? Is that right? One wife is more than enough, because God told so. Amen. So I was born and grew up in a Muslim family in a Muslim country. And as every Muslim, I Jesus about salvation, about I had somehow eager in my heart. I was trying to please Allah because I was proud. But somebody came to my neighborhood. Going out to empty fields, probably some of you. Allah, if you are real, I need in your... There are many people screaming out. And though that's a Bible says about that. It says that blessed are those feet. He came to my neighborhood. And he was telling us about living God, about heaven, about paradise, about angels, about how God is so beautiful. I don't know when last time somebody told you about how beautiful God is. And his beauty never fades away. Every day, he's so beautiful that never fades away. Because he created all the beauty. And he was talking to us. I was amazed. This guy talks like somebody has living relationship with living God. That Muslim doesn't have any personal relationship with God. But this guy is different than others. And he was telling us then... He was coming every week. Praise God. I say, praise God that we have somebodies who are crossing their street, crossing their borders, crossing their comfort zones to go to tell somebody about. Is that right? If not that somebody, you can't be here. Me too. Is that right? Remember your salvation? Maybe your mom's salvation. Maybe your grandpa's or grandma's. But somebody told your grandma to you and invited you. Is that right? Amen. I was one of them. And he invited me to come. That was church. 10, 12 people. That was a church. They were meeting in an apartment. That was house church, underground church in a Muslim country. There's a church. God saves people from everywhere. It doesn't matter closed or open. For gospel, but he has ways how to save them. When I got there, I'm Muslim. Those are Russian Christians. I said, why I'm here? They are Christians. I'm Muslim. I'm not supposed to be here. But because of that brother, I said, I'm okay. When we entered to the room, there was 10 people there, I believe. End of 1994. You know what? That's really always touches my heart. The love... From those ladies and men, they were like 50 years old. I was like 20 years old guy. Love from them touched my heart so deeply that I was in shock. I never experienced that pure love before. That was God's love. That Bible talks about that God is love. But in the Quran, God is not love. That pure love touched my heart and I was shocked. This is what I say. May I help you, please? I need your help. If my brother is going to invite me, if he's going to invite me to come to church, I'm an unbeliever. He's inviting me to come to church. Never you can predict what God is going to do in my life, in my heart, that moment. Because he's God everywhere. He works in our hearts, in our lives, even before he's going to invite me. Thank you so much. So that morning, I personally experienced God's love. I was shocked. Did you experience God's love in your life? For sure. What makes us strong in our faith? And then I came Sunday morning for the service. I repented of my sins. And they said, we'd like for us to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I say, never put God in that box. God can do more things than even we think. I said, yes, I want. They said, kneel down and ask God. I said, okay. I kneel down. I said, God, I screamed out, give me your Holy Spirit. And they were praying for me 2-3 minutes. You know what happened? You can't predict God what God's going to do. God filled me right there with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues so loud about 10, 15 minutes. And I thought I'm drunk, I'm flying in the air. I was so happy. I was so joyful. I didn't know what's going on. They were happy for me. I thought, why they're happy? I'm the happiest because I'm speaking in tongues. I have no idea what's going on. I'm flying in the air. But I didn't have any vodka that morning. Russian, you know, a drink. God changed my life right there. You never predict God. You cannot predict God, what he's going to do when you invite somebody. And that brother didn't know, and those sisters, brothers, they didn't know that. They were going to say salam to me. God is going to change that salam into his love and pour on me for me to experience God himself through those believers. We can never predict God. God is amazing. And how he acts, I have no idea, but I know one thing, he acts to change our life. I went to my relatives, my friends. I have thousands and thousands of relatives. Muslims, they have all kinds of community people. I will tell them all about Jesus Christ, what he has done in my life. He changed me, his love, his baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was telling them because that happened to me. Nobody can argue with me. I was praying in tongues amongst them right there. They said, what is that? I said, that's the Bible says, it's from the Bible. Who says don't do that? Bible doesn't say don't do that. I did that because that happened to me. God changed my life. And after that, some of them, they came to Christ. Some of them, they thought, oh, you became a Christian. You betrayed all of us. Some of them, they want to kill me. Some of them, they want to ask police to come and pick up us to police office. They were threatening my life and some others. But you know what? Love of God. When you experience God, his love, his joy, that fear cannot break you down. Because his love is much more stronger. Today, the worship team, when they were singing, this morning and afternoon, I was crying, brother. And thank you so much, worship team. I want to just at least clap hands for them. Because they brought us into the presence of God. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. This type of service is not everywhere, brothers and sisters. When team brings you guys into the presence of God to worship him who is worthy. And of course, after a few years later, I went to Bible college in other country. I graduated from that Bible college, came back to my hometown, and we got married. In 2000, we moved to capital of our country to plant a church. And we planted a church, and I was pastor in that church. We planted a few more churches and going to different cities, towns. Just nobody pushes you from your back, but from inside of your heart, desire just draws you to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that amazing? Nobody forces you. But by love. Let me ask you. Who got married because of they got married, mad at each other, angry? They say, we're going to get married. Who fight together and say, well, we are good fighters. Let's get married. Because of love. Is that right? You loved. I love my wife, she loved me, and we got married because of love. It draws us together. Let me tell you, this book, Bible, we call, full of love of God. If you'll take love of God from this book out, it's going to be like other religious books. Moral books, that's it. Nothing else. Love makes this Bible your faith and my faith different than other faith and other religions. Love of God. So that was 2012. I'll share faster than now. I'll have my time. I don't want to take you guys your time. Do you know that God speaks in this book? Through dreams, through this book, through prophecies, through visions. And through just your ear, your heart. That was 2012. While we were ministering, serving, I got word in my heart. Days are coming. Prepare, pass on the ministers and go. I knew what's going on all about because I was praying. 2004, when I was first time, I was in the States for a conference for a week. During that conference, a voice spoke to my heart. Would you come over? I said, no. I'm serving to Muslims. I don't want to come to U.S. I went home after that conference. I forgot about this. 2008, I was second time in a conference in other state for a week. During that week, again, I got a word from God. Would you come over? I said, never. I'm ministering to Muslims. I don't want to come here. No way. I went home. I forgot about this all. 2012. Do you know that God of this Bible never forces you and never violates your will? If you search some other religions, their religion forces you and violates your will, but not God of this book. Even Jesus, when he came, he said, "Who wants to follow me? Take your cross and follow after me." That was God himself who came to earth. That was the God who created Adam and Eve when God told them, don't take and don't eat, is it right? Don't eat. When they struck, not to touch it. That God we serve never violates, never breaks our free will and free choice. He spoke and he speaks. And he spoke. When he spoke, I said, "God, nobody called me there. I have nobody there. I don't have any relatives and brothers there. I have no sponsors. I have no finances. Nobody promised me anything. God, what's going to be? My wife, my two boys, my God, they are my witnesses." I was praying, and I told my wife, she said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know. God wants us to go, but I have no idea why." Because I was praying, but it didn't give me peace. I said, "Okay, God, if you want, are we going to do that?" She said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "I don't want to go anywhere. We moved already from our hometown. We're here 12 years. We're a pastor in church. No way." I said, "Let's pray together." We were praying about a month. Every day, she said, "I got peace in my heart. I know this is from the Lord." Well, if your wife says that to you, then it's kind of serious. You have to be... So, who has the burdens more, women or, I mean, wife or husband? Come on, most times the husbands, right? Is that right, brothers? Come on, say yes. So I was, and we were praying together. Some friends, they told me, "Rasim, if really God wants to go there, even if you don't know why, maybe that would be good for you to go there to see what God wants you to do." I said, "Oh, that's a good idea." I bought my tickets. When you fly, they give you bonus miles, mile smiles. I believe some Christian brother or sister, they invented that mile smile. They give you bonus. Non-Christians, forget about them. They never do something for you. Now, I bought my tickets. I flew to Chicago. Before I flew to Chicago, you have to get visa. Do we have international brothers, sisters here that came to the States? For you to come to the States, first you have to go where? To American embassies, right, in that country. So, and for interviews, all right? So you've been there? Come on, brother. So I was praying, I said, "God, if the embassy will issue me a year multiple entries visa, not a single visa, multiple entries for a year, I'll know this is from you. I ask God to confirm this is from the Lord. It's not sin. You're afraid, you just want to make sure that this is God." My wife, she said, "Rasim, I have peace in my heart," because we were praying. She said, "They'll give it to you." I said, "Come on, Shelly, you've never been to USM. I've been there twice. I have to bring all kinds of paperwork that proven, you know, this and this. Is it right? Come on, brother, say yes. That's right. I want to hear that, because let others know this is truth. This time I have no papers. I have no money in my account. I have no hotel reservation. I'm just coming here to pray and seek for God's guidance." I said, "I've been there twice. It's easier for Muslim to believe in Jesus and to go to heaven from Muslim country than to come to U.S. This is kind of a joke, but this is truth. And she said, "No, I have peace there." I said, "Okay." I went to U.S. embassy, officer. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To U.S. He said, "What's the purpose of your trip?" He was looking at my eyes like this. I said, "To pray and seek for God's guidance in my heart, in my life. That was my purpose to come here. Pray and seek for God's guidance. If this is God from you, let him give me a year multiple entries." I was praying. And the officer, he stared like at my eyes like this and he said, "Your visa proof, come tomorrow and get your visa." Next day, a year, multiple entries to the States, visa. I flew to Chicago. I was in Chicago. I have a few $100 in my pocket. That's it. No credit card, no debit card, no phone, no insurance. I was there. Some brothers, sisters, they hosted me. Blessed them. I knew them, Christian brothers, sisters. Then they had awesome dinner. One of them stood up and prophesied, before you were born, I put this in order to bring you over. And I'll bless you. Amen. One brother drove from Minneapolis, picked me up to Minneapolis, Minnesota. February, freezing cold, brother. I was there for 3 days praying. I didn't get an answer. I took Amtrak from there to D.C. I was here first time in D.C. I was here for 1.5 days. When I was here in D.C., I felt something in my spirit about this area. I didn't get that. What's that? I took Amtrak from D.C. down to Florida, one missionary couple, to visit them, to talk to them and pray. Thank God that God wants to come. I said, amen, let it be so. I didn't want to come here because I'm just following what's going on in my life, in my heart. I'm just saying, okay, God, if this is you, I'm going to do that. After that, I took Graham bus from Tampa, Florida to Springfield, Missouri. It's 32 hours. I just went half of the states by train, by Amtrak. But now, I was in Springfield praying there. Prayer always work. Keep going. Keep believing. And you never know when God is going to answer you. I was praying there. And suddenly I felt East Coast of U.S. I stood up from prayer because I was there for 3 days praying, asking God. I put my finger towards the New York and Washington. I felt as I felt. I said, God, if this is your will, bring us right here. I don't want to go anywhere. I shared with brothers what's going on in my life. And one of them called to Valley Forge. I had no idea about Valley Forge. I didn't come here for any university, anything like that. Talked to him. And to the Valley Forge president and the leadership, and they looked. One of the other brothers, their Christian brothers, he was academic dean of my previous college. So they had my transcripts, and they looked to Valley Forge to say, we can transfer his 3 years to Valley Forge as a 2 years. That day, somebody paid my 2 years of my tuition. Brothers there, they said, Rasim, it's never happened in one day. This is from the Lord, as the Lord wants you to do, and just do that. I said, okay. I was praying. God, but how about the accommodation? I got food for my family. How about our visas? How about our airfare? I flew back home. I was praying. You know, when you sometimes trust in the Lord, it's not hallelujah. You know, it's not like when you have nothing and you don't know where you're going and you're just, you know, trying to follow the Lord. It is most likely on your knees and saying, is that right? Yes. Asking, God, if you will not help me, everybody's going to laugh on me and they're going to laugh on you too. Because I'm telling them that you told me, but if this is not, it will not work, then everybody's going to laugh. God, you know what I'm talking? But trust in the Lord when He calls you. Make sure that that's God. Follow, God will do miracles after miracles, because this book is full of miracles that we experience in our life as well. Every day. In June, 4 brothers from the States, from 3 from Europe, 1 from New Zealand, they sent us more than $5,500. I never had in my life people who send me money. That was God. July, we applied for visas. When I'm very pointed, God of this book, God of dates and ages. Listen again. God of this book, Bible, God of ages and dates. He always emphasized dates. This king's time. In the fullness of time, God sent his only one son. There is time when Jesus is going to come back. God put everything. But book of Quran, God of Quran, is not emphasizing dates and ages. Our God is different. Amazing God. July 16, I applied for 4 visas. 2 weeks later, brother, we had to go for interview. So end of July, 31st of July, we had to go for interview. Now, this book full of dreams as well. 20 months before that, my wife, she saw dreams. 07/13. God is doing big difference in our life. We're moving from our apartment to some foreigner's apartment. I said, Charlie, what is that? 07/13, our apartment, foreigner's apartment. It doesn't make any sense. She said, no, something has to happen that date. I said, okay, let it be so. The reason I'm telling this to you, not because of who we are, but who our God is. When he calls, he backs up his calling. Amen. Always trust in him. And now 20 month, now 0713. Next day, I got phone call from embassy. Listen, embassy never calls you, brother. Is it right? Tell me, is it right? You call them, you knock their doors. If they're open, you try to get in, is it right? If not, then you try to keep going. They called me, Rasim Hassan, and I said, yes. Said, if you have time, we want you to come for interview today. 2 weeks expedited just before, not in the end. We went for interview. Okay, you're with my wife 20 months before that. God has emails. I got an email from Senator's Policy Registration who tried to register our church to have free meeting back in the country. For 6-7 years, we weren't able. Through the senator, we tried to get touch with our officials in our country to have somehow registration of our church. I got an email from Senator's Policy Advisor. She emailed me. She said, Rasim, we heard from our co-workers that your visa is approved. Listen, do you remember? Let me tell you this. Mary and Joseph, they were living in a city named called Nazareth. Remember? Nazareth. Remember? Yes. Nazareth. But about 500-600 years ago, Prophet Micah, God spoke through his prophet Micah that Jesus, Messiah, has to be born in Bethlehem. It's about 60 miles or 70 miles far from each other. Those days, people, they didn't, you know, go to some other clinics to have a baby, you know, like here we have. So they were living here. But prophet said several hundred years ago, he's going to be born there. Is that right? But God never fails. He has to do something. Through king, they had a census. Is that right? And we have no idea. Bible doesn't tell us. What happened to that king to have that census to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem because God spoke through prophet Micah that he has to be born in Bethlehem. Is that right? Something happened. Maybe angel, maybe prophet, maybe a dream. Something happened to that Caesar who was their emperor that for him to do census because God's word prophecy has to be fulfilled. My wife, she saw a dream, 07-13, 20 months before God spoke to me, 20 months after. Through senator's office, was talking to the embassy. Come on, brother. God can do many things even we don't think about, and we cannot predict God. I was brought in, we were brought in for an interview, and next 2 days later, we got our 4 visas. And I was looking for online tickets. They say, Lufthansa offers this. We have 4 tickets, but you have decided in 30 minutes to Dubai. We're giving you a very low price. In 2 days, no, I'm sorry, 3 days you have to fly. Really? Okay, we pray together. So, okay, we're buying. We bought 4 tickets, less than $4,000. But next day, I said, hey, how much cost? 3-5 days before flight, I want to buy tickets. $3,000 per person. We bought less than $4,000. Baku, Frankfurt, Dallas, Philadelphia. God did one more miracle. And in 2 days, we packed for small luggage, for big luggage. That's it. We flew from Azerbaijan, 07-13, from our apartment to foreign department to Valley Forge. Now, we were flying from Dallas Airport to Philadelphia. I was sitting. And my wife, one young guy, 20 years old, in airplane, small airplane. We were talking. He pulled out his jacket, gave my kids because it was cool in the airplane because of AC. I said, thank you. I started to tell him about Jesus Christ, about, you know, how many miracles he did in my life. He said, hey, I'm Christian too. I'm coming from Belarus, from mission trip. He's 20 years old. And he said, 3 guys in the back of airplane. Let's pray together when we landed in Philadelphia. I said, okay. We were in Philadelphia praying together. 20 years old brother. I met him first time in an airplane. When we said goodbye to each other, I saw he put money in my palm. First time, just hour and a half. I said, what are you doing? He said, I want to bless you. I said, don't do that. He said, God told me to bless you. I said, okay, if God told you to bless me, I have no problem. Put the money in my pocket. You know why?
If God tells you you don't want to obey, then you're in trouble. It's better to obey. And next day, you know how much money was that? 20 years old. They're coming from Belarus for a mission trip. For 2 weeks they were there. $500. Isn't that God? We were to Valley Forge. We went to some church. We were there. Next Sunday, somebody drove us there. One couple came to us, Filipino couple, 65 years old. They said, listen, we have a car. We want to give our car to our landlord. But God stopped us, told us, give your car to this couple. I said, how much do you want for your car? Because I have several hundred dollars in my pocket, that's it. He said, oh no, this is a gift to you from the Lord. I said, listen, we got to the States about 12 days ago. And he said, listen, in 10 days we're going to go back to Philippines. We were in the U.S. for 15 years. And we'll never come back. Serve. Cost us anything. Even if we didn't have $200 when God called us. Obeyed by faith. We didn't know where we were going. Why? When I graduated from Valley Forge, more than $95,000 spent. I didn't speak in the churches, brother. I didn't do like this, what I'm doing, preaching. God did miracles after miracles. My family, they are my witnesses. God brought people from... Because he backs up his calling. He's living God. He's living God. And he has a mission to do. And I went after graduation, I felt again DC area. Okay, we moved to this area. Do we have in the house school bus drivers? I drove school bus for Alexander City for 2 years when we moved to Virginia. I didn't know why we were going there. We moved to DC area. I didn't have any job. I didn't apply for any jobs. I didn't apply for any churches to be pastor or assistant pastor because I didn't come here to be pastor of church. We got here. I didn't know why. And when I was there driving a school bus, I saw lots of Muslims. Man, lots of Muslims. And I talked to lots of brothers, sisters. They said, nobody works with Muslims here. I said, Lord, if this is what you brought us here for, okay, somebody, Rasim, is going to be tough on you to drive school bus. You graduated from Valley Forge. You can apply to be a U.S. missionary with Assemblies of God, do full-time ministry. I said, that's a good idea. I did, and I've been approved. And we are right now in our itineration process to raise our support to start full-time ministry. Listen, our God doesn't play games with us. He changes destinies and lives. And he uses those lives for his glory and for good of us and for others. This is the God we serve. He doesn't play game. And we are not playing game with God. And we are here not because, you know, somebody just called, not because we experienced God's love and his presence and his miracles and his healings. This is why we are here. And this is why we are taking this gospel to those Muslims. Somebody said, those are really, they are crazy guys, Muslim. Yes, maybe they're crazy. But let me tell you, do you know Jesus was the radical person in the earth? I'll say again. He was every day, he was walking under shadow of death. Because everybody wants to kill him. Is that right? But God sent Jesus to this earth. Not for Christians, but John 3:16 says, God so loved this world. One time Russian Christian lady told me, Jesus is ours, Muhammad is yours. Kind of somebody took Jesus out of my heart. I said, wow, I was that new believer. I said, listen, I praise God for our pastors, for our leaders. They taught us, memorize some verse from the Bible. I said, I did John 3:16, my first memorized verse. Hallelujah for that. I said, listen, I opened John 3:16. I said, listen, it says that God so loved, not Christian, it says God so loved this whole world. Come on, open ears again. God so loved this world. It's not Christian, it's not Americans, it's not Russians. No, whole world. So loved this world. And it says that, so he sent his one and only son for this world. Whoever, I said, listen, are you in the world? She said, yes. How about me? She said, well, you are here too. I said, miss Jesus for me as well. Don't tell me that Jesus is ours, Muhammad is yours. Don't tell that to me. Is that right? Listen, it's about love. It's not about our good work. It's not about we're worthy. No, it's about love of God. this book about love that saves, the grace that we weren't worthy. Is that right? Somebody came. Somebody died on the cross. Somebody raised from the dead. Somebody said, now I have this. I want to give it to you as a gift. You don't need to pay anything. Just live before me. Exalt God's name. And take this goodness for others. Because you have been given freely. And you go and do the same. This is our faith, brothers and sisters. This is our heritage that we have. This is why we are saying, Jesus was radical. If you are with Muslims, if you are not going to be radical with them, with your radical faith, with a radical speech, with a radical say, hey, you know what? Some Muslims say, look at the girl, look at the, she's awesome, Say, hey, Jesus said that don't look in the girl, on a girl with lustful eyes. Tell him that. Let him to see that our faith is different. When he says, like Jesus said, it was said that don't kill, is that right? It's deeper than killing. Don't be angry. Because his love. And he proved his love, gave his son. Imagine if Jesus would be afraid not to tell people about himself, not to go to cross to die for us, where would we be? For sure to hell. Do you remember Jonah? God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Remember? He sent him there. Jonah fled that way. He wasn't afraid, but he hated them. They were enemies of God. Enemies of Israelites. Jonah flee. God brought him there. Remember? Jonah wanted God to punish them, to kill them. Sometimes when we see in the media what Muslims they do in the Middle East with Christians, with other people, let me hear your voice, please. Be honest. Sometimes we want to be like Jonah with those Muslims. Is that right? God, those Muslims are brutal. They're killing other Christians, other people. Yes, they are. How about you? Are you brutal like them? Then whose son are you? Jesus said to them who wants to kill them, your dad is Satan. Is that right? Okay, their dad, whoever. How about you and me? God said, remember God said what God said to Jonah? He said, Jonah, it's chapter 4. Verse 10, it says, Jonah, verse 11, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Really? God? You don't know where's your right hand and left? God, how can it be? God says to his prophet, they don't know. Remember Jesus when he was dying on a cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Remember? Really? They are killing you. They don't know what they're doing. Do you remember when Stephen, they were stoning him. Remember? In the Bible, in the Acts. He didn't cry. He didn't curse those people who were killing him. You know what he did? He said, Father, forgive them. Is that right? David Wilkerson, who was man of God, who started Teen Challenge Ministry in New York, and now world has Teen Challenge Ministry, which are many drug addicts, thousands, millions of people getting free out of the drugs. One of the guy, he wanted to kill him. He said, cut this body into 1,000 pieces, and every piece is going to tell you that God loves you so much. Hate never wins and never cannot win. Love wins. Even the enemy, Bible says that, even someone doing something bad to you, try to do good to him one day. Jesus said, love your enemies. This is our heritage. This book is love. If you're going to squeeze this book, love is going to come out. That Jesus died on the cross, God's love for us. Because of that, we have been given grace, forgiveness. Heaven is free for us. And we cannot earn it. Those people, still they need those Muslims. And one day will come, many of those Muslims will come. You know what they will do? They will come to Jesus with radical faith. Who cares? Other Muslims going to kill them or no? They got living word of living God. And they're going to radically preach this gospel to other Muslims. This is what we are looking for, brothers and sisters. And let God bless you all. Thank you so much for your faith. Thank you for your time. And thank you for your heart, for your everything. Please keep us in your prayers, because we want to spread this gospel among them, that we will have many, many Muslim brothers and sisters, like in Revelation says that from every nation, from every tongue, from every tribe, from every people, it's going to be people in heaven. Thank you.